Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, for something a little different today, I want to start off by walking you through just a little bit of my sermon writing process, or how I decide what I'm going to preach on, which does in part help to explain why there's a sermon handout in the bulletin and there's a separate one. So, in reading through our epistle reading, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. What's the first connection that you make in your mind on reading through that? In verse 2, Peter says, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it may grow up into salvation. And so, what's another Bible passage that uses the metaphor of milk for a baby growing up? Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that, I fed you with milk, not solid food, so you were not ready, for you were not ready for it. And then, so the connection in my mind is, what is the difference between this milk and solid food? Milk is simple, nourishing, necessary for a child. But over time, the child grows up into an adult who needs solid food, not just milk. Now, in both cases, Peter and Paul are using a metaphor. We're not really talking about the difference between milk and solid food, but about the difference between the basic fundamentals of the faith and the meat and potatoes of what we believe. As Christians, it is important for us to learn and develop and mature in our faith rather than allow ourselves to become stunted and focus exclusively on the basics. And yet at the same time, we can't lose sight, Peter reminds us, of the basic elements of the faith. We need to mature in our faith and our life while still clinging to the simple truth of Jesus Christ. And all of that is true, but when you focus on a single verse or a couple verses out of an entire chapter or an entire book or an entire Bible, you can miss the forest for the trees. And you can miss a far more important message. Namely, what the rest of our text is telling us about what it means to be spiritually mature, even as we long for this pure spiritual milk. So, join me as we look at this spiritual milk for which we long, and how it helps us to grow up as spiritual children to become spiritually mature. Now, the first question to ask is, what is it that we actually mean when we talk about spiritual milk? Now, the simple answer is what do we learn about God in Sunday school, or what do we learn about God while sitting on our parents' laps and hearing them read the Bible or reading a Bible storybook to us? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin as a sinless infant, as an infant child who grows up into a sinless, perfect adult who lives a perfect life for us, something that we could never do. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was buried to pay the full price for our sins, and who then rose from the dead on the third day, as He had promised, defeating death for all time. And that pure spiritual milk is nothing more or less than that truth about Jesus. I hope that if our children learn nothing else from worshiping together, from Sunday school, from confirmation class and youth group, from everything that comes from growing up in the church, I hope if they learn nothing else, they learn Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died for you. Now, is there more to this story? Yes, of course. There is far more to what the Bible teaches, and over time, your faith can and will grow and deepen to understand more about who God is as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How God is at work in the world through his people, through his church, through his Spirit, which is the focus of our text today, especially when Peter says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The full testimony of Scripture regarding our fallen nature, our redemption, our sanctification, the ways in which God makes us to be his people, all of that is important and part of our faith. And yet, even if we do progress beyond to that solid food, we do still need that pure spiritual milk, as Peter reminds us. That is the foundation for a childlike faith, which, after all, Jesus tells us that we must receive the kingdom of God like a child. Once when the disciples had come to Jesus, they asked him which of them was the greatest. Jesus' response in Matthew chapter 18 is, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What a shock that must have been to the disciples to hear that they are to have a faith like a child, to humble themselves like a child rather than seek their own greatness, to seek which of them is to be greatest. And yet, that is how we are to believe in Jesus. Children trust. Children recognize the voice of their parents. They know that their parents have their best interests at heart, and so they trust that their parents are leading them in the right direction. Children, they don't question whether their parents are going to feed them or not as infants. They simply trust that mom and dad are going to provide all that they need, their food, their shelter, their clothing, their love. That's what a childlike faith then looks like. Humble and trusting. Not putting oneself up, but focused on the other. Selfless rather than self-serving. Focused on God and on what God is doing for us, rather than becoming distracted by ourselves or by what we want from God. And so it is with this childlike faith that we as spiritual children grow up into spiritual maturity, that we are built up together as living stones into the spiritual house of the church, which is what Peter tells us, which is what Peter describes in his letter, that I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. That Jesus is that cornerstone on which the church is founded, on which or from which we all are being built out as this chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is what it means for us to be God's people, young or old, mature, immature, new to the faith, or longtime believers. We are living stones being built up into the church with Christ as the cornerstone. I think sometimes we forget what the church is and focus too much on the trappings of the church rather than on the church itself. Is the church a building? Is the church a congregation or a church body, such as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? We do use the term church for all of these things. And we can call the building the church, and yet the church is not simply a building. The church is not a physical building. It's not established by a contract signed and sealed with the state. Rather, the church is the people of God, the holy priesthood who offer spiritual sacrifices to God, who are as living stones built up together into the church. Now, that verse 5, when Peter says that we are a holy priesthood, or that we are living stones being built up to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices, that's the role of a priest, is to offer sacrifices to God. In the Old Testament, the priests offered sacrifices of bulls and rams to pay for sins, their own sins as well as those of the people. Now, these sacrifices in the Old Testament, they couldn't save anyone in and of themselves, sinful people offering sin-sickened animals to God is not going to take away sin. It was not the sacrifice itself that would or could save, but faith in the one who authorized the sacrifice. And so the priest would also offer prayers for themselves, for the people, interceding for all of those in need. So then we are that holy priesthood, Peter tells us, a holy priesthood to offer the spiritual sacrifice to pray for those around us. And what is that spiritual sacrifice that we offer? It is nothing more or less than the sacrifice of our lives, living for Him and growing to maturity as His people. After all, that is what sanctification is. What sanctification looks like is God's holy people becoming God's holy people. Sanctification is simply what it is, simply to become holy or to be made holy. Letting our lives be lives of service to God and to our neighbors. When your neighbor is sick or grieving, listening to them and praying with them. When your neighbor is hungry or naked, providing for his physical needs. Not because we are looking for attention for ourselves, but simply because we already have received so much from God that we can't help but give of ourselves to those who have been made in God's image. Now, as priests, or as this royal priesthood, holy priesthood, can we save anyone by our own actions? No, of course not. We can't save ourselves by our actions. We are saved ourselves by God, and yet our service is pleasing to God and shows His love and care to those around us. And so as we pray together with and for one another, that is how we grow into spiritual maturity. That's what it means to be spiritually mature in our spiritual walk. We know and believe that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Yet our faith is not alone. It is not content to simply exist in a vacuum, to become stunted in false piety and spiritual immaturity. Our faith grows as we gather with God's people for worship, as we gather for Bible study, for prayer, to share life together. Our faith grows as we receive together God's blessings in the sacrament. Our faith is put into practice serving God by serving our neighbors. Yet, no matter how mature we become in our faith, no matter how much we serve God and our neighbor, no matter how much we learn, some things still remain true. That longing for the simple, pure, spiritual milk of the faith. That's, after all, what is... Billy Graham was one time asked what his favorite hymn was, thinking that it would be something great or famous. No. He simply said, "Jesus loves me," because that is the heart of our faith. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.